Psalm 19, to the choir master, a psalm of David. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky above proclaims his handiwork. Day to day pours out speech, and night to night reveals knowledge. There is no speech, nor are there words whose voice is not heard. Their voice goes out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them he has set a tent for the sun, which comes out like a bridegroom leaving his chamber, and like a strong man runs its course with joy. Its rising is from the ends of the heavens, and its circuit to the end of them, and there is nothing hidden from its heat. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The rules of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, even much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and drippings of the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is your servant warned. In keeping them, there is great reward. Who can discern his error? Declare me innocent from hidden faults. Keep back your servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then I shall be blameless and innocent of great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. From the 19th Psalm, we turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3. We'll start at verse 10. Now, there's a term used in 2 Timothy 3 that we have seen in the book of Leviticus, and it's the man of God. And the man of God, in the context of the scriptures, is not Christians in general, but it's specifically those who hold office and have been called to the office to handle the word of God. And that was seen in the Old Testament as the Levites were called the man of God, or the prophets were called the man of God. And it's seen in the New Testament as those that handle the word of God are called the man of God. Now, I don't want to take anything away from this scripture and its application to everybody, because all scripture is profitable for all of us. But the instruction given here is within the context of the pastoral epistles. This is the directory of the Reformed Presbyterian Church for the New Testament church, the pastoral epistles. This is Paul saying to the ministers that are going out throughout the world, this is what you are supposed to be doing in worship. This is what belongs to you. This is what belongs to you. This is what belongs to you. And here, that is the context from which these verses come. Now, I want you to think about them within that context, because often we separate these verses from that immediate context to which they actually belong. So, 2 Timothy chapter 3, starting at verse 10. You, however, have followed my teaching, my conduct, my aim in life, my faith, my patience, my love, my steadfastness, my persecutions and sufferings that happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, and at Lystra, which persecutions I endured. Yet from them all, the Lord rescued me. Indeed, all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted, while evil people and imposters go on from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it, and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All scripture is breathed out by God and is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be competent, equipped for every good work. And here ends the reading from the Word of God. We continue our look this afternoon into what we call the means of grace. And today we begin to look at the place that the Word of God has within the means of grace, the Bible and the preaching of that Bible. What is the special place that the Word of God has in the way God leads sinners to Christ? Question 155 of our larger catechism asks, how is the Word made effectual unto salvation, or to salvation? And the answer that the catechism gives is, the Spirit of God makes the reading, but especially the preaching of the Word, an effectual means of enlightening, convicting, and humbling sinners, of driving them out of themselves and drawing them unto Christ, of conforming them to His image and subduing them to His will, of strengthening them against temptations and corruptions, of building them up in grace and establishing their hearts in holiness and comfort through faith unto salvation. So we're talking about the place that the Bible and the preaching of this Bible has within the means of grace. And right from the beginning, what we need to again underscore is, we're not saying that the means within themselves do the work of converting sinners. We say, what does the Spirit of God use as the means to convert sinners? So you see, the hearing of the Word of God, the reading of the Word of God, and especially the preaching of the Word of God are means that the Spirit of God uses, not ends in themselves, but what the Spirit uses to convert sinners. And our catechism understands this. The Bible, apart from the work of the Spirit, can never bring about salvation in the life of a sinner. That may sound like a dramatic statement. It may actually even sound wrong. But the Bible, apart from the work of the Spirit, will not work effectually unto salvation. The Spirit of God must use the Word of God to convert sinners and to change their hearts and their minds. I remember one time hearing Dr. Barnhouse from 10th Presbyterian in Philadelphia, hearing him broadcast on the radio and him talking about how he would much rather hear the Word of God expounded by a converted 10-year-old than an old professor of religion who did not know God. And I appreciate that. That the Spirit of God enlightening the minds and the hearts of His people, even the uneducated, has so much more value than someone with multiple degrees in Bible and religion who is unconverted, who knows not Christ. Now notice our text says that in the catechism that it's the reading, but especially the preaching of the word that is used. So, we have a very high view of the public reading of the scriptures. We have a very high view of the preaching of the word of God, because we understand that these are means that God uses to convert sinners. You can look at Acts chapter 8 as an illustration of this, this high view of the word. We have the story of the Ethiopian eunuch. In the, Acts chapter 8, it says, "Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, 'Rise and go towards the south to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza.'" This is a desert place. "And he rose and went, and there was an Ethiopian, a eunuch, a court official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of all her treasure. He had come to Jerusalem to worship and was returning seated in his chariot, and he was reading the prophet Isaiah. And the Spirit said to Philip, 'Go over and join this chariot.' So Philip ran to him and heard him reading Isaiah the prophet and asked, 'Do you understand what you are reading?' And the eunuch said, 'How can I unless someone teaches me?' He invited Philip to come up and to sit with him." Now this, the passage of scripture that he was reading was this: "Like a sheep he was led to the slaughter, and like a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation justice was denied him. Who can describe his generation? For his life is taken away from the earth." And the eunuch said to Philip, "About whom, I ask you, does the prophet say this? About himself or about someone else?" Then Philip opened his mouth and, beginning with this scripture, told him the good news about Jesus. We see that the word of God being read is something that the Spirit of God will use, but often that reading of the word is mingled with the preaching of the word. I think in preaching before, I've given the challenge that asks if you know anyone who was converted in a closet just reading the scriptures by themselves. And it was always no. And I don't remember if it was here or somewhere else, but somebody said, "Well, yeah, I have this friend," and then explained to me, and I, well, there goes my illustration for this. But more often than not, you do not hear about people being converted just by picking up a Bible and reading it. That what God normally uses is the Spirit teaching through the Word of God and using the instruments that He has given for teaching to shed light on the Word of God. Now, I'm not saying that's required. I'm not saying that makes me a magician. I'm not saying that makes me a priest. I'm not saying that makes me a mediator between you and God. But I'm saying that as God's normal means of converting sinners, what He normally uses is the reading of the Word of God mixed with the preaching of the Word of God. The Word of God proclaimed is a normal means to open hearts and minds to of unbelievers in order to show forth the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, the church in general has fallen on hard times when it comes to hearing the Word of God and the preaching of the Word of God. I would imagine that on a typical Lord's Day, we read publicly as much as many evangelical churches will read in a month of public reading. We generally read two whole chapters in our morning worship. And We do that because we have a high view of the reading of the Word. The Bible is not a springboard so that I can come up and tell you whatever it is that's on my heart and mind. The Bible is a means of grace as we hear that Bible read. And we really live in, at least in the past maybe 400 years, we live in a very strange time within the history of humanity. Because what you can do that generations before you couldn't do was to take a copy of this home and to read it at home and to talk about it at home with your families. Even in Puritan New England, often the Bible was chained to the pulpit because they didn't want it stolen, because it was so precious in the community, because often communities would only have the copy that was there that was to be read publicly. Now, of course, this led to some strange behavior at times with the Word of God. Some Puritans in England were known to, when the minister wouldn't come in from the side door here, but come from here and walk down the aisles, and they would hold up the Word of God as they walked down the aisle so that people would see the Word of God being lifted up in their midst. But we see that the purpose of that is this high view of the Word of God, and often the only reading of the Scriptures that you all as congregants would hear would be in the public services, because only the wealthiest would be able to own a copy of the Scriptures. Of course, portions would be put to memory and recited at home and things, but the reading of the Word was always something done publicly. There's an office connected to the reading and preaching of the Word of God. And as I said, the church has fallen on hard times with the reading of the Scriptures as well as the preaching of the Scriptures. Preaching is no longer seen as a central aspect of the worship of the church or the discipleship of the church. Even within your own thought processes, how many of you think of what goes on here from this pulpit as part of your discipleship? How many have a higher view of one-on-one time, which is important and good and necessary? One-on-one time with another person, and you'd say, well, that's discipleship. Well, this is discipleship. As a congregation, we are being discipled by the Word of God and through the reading of the Word and the preaching of the Word. How will they hear without a preacher, says the Apostle Paul. This is God's ordinary means of bringing sinners to Himself. And what does the preaching of the gospel do when the Spirit of God uses it? As the Scriptures are opened and unfolded before a congregation, how does the Spirit work within the hearts of sinners? What does He do? Well, look at the remainder of the catechism question in your bulletin. And you can, if you go home and look at your copy of the larger catechism, and you can open all of these proof texts and read all of these different ways that the Scriptures are used. We read from Psalm 19 to see a list of how the Word of God is used in the life of the believer. And all of these various nuances, and here in 2 Timothy 3, as we read, all of these different ways that the Word of God is used within the hearts and minds of those who believe. And the Catechism looks out to the Scriptures and it pulls a number of these in and categorizes them and puts them here for us to see. Friends, do you see preaching as the central way of discipleship? Look at this list. Enlightening, convicting, and humbling sinners. driving them out of themselves, drawing them unto Christ, conforming them to his image, subduing them to his will, strengthening them against temptation and corruption, building them up in grace, establishing their hearts in holiness and comfort through faith unto salvation. Congregation, I am convinced that the time that we spend in public worship, as the Word of God is read and the Word of God is preached, is the most important hours in your lives as disciples of Christ. And I believe that, and not just because I'm paid to do this. I believe this as a sincere Christian, that the preaching of the Word of God is the central way that God disciples sinners, that God disciples his people, that this time spent under the preaching of the word is the most important time in your life. Look at this list again. It starts with enlightening. That is shedding light on the scriptures, shedding light on the meaning of the Bible. Now, I hope that if you all would go back to Leviticus chapter 1 and start reading the book of Leviticus, that in our series that we've had so far, that you would be able to say, I understand the book of Leviticus better than I've ever understood it in my life. And the reason that you should be able to do that is because the preaching of the word is light that comes from the Spirit of God to teach you and show you what the word of God means. Now, this is something that you could do on your own, buy a bunch of commentaries and sit down and read and put stuff together. But in a special way, when you are discipled from the pulpit, from the official preaching of the word, that God uses that in a special way for enlightening you, to teach you what the scriptures mean. The second thing on the list is convicting sinners. Does the preaching of the word of God convict you of sin? You see how at times what the Spirit of God does under preaching of the word is that the Spirit will tear our hearts open and expose us to ourselves. Have you ever had the experience when the preacher is preaching and think, how does he know what my week was like? How does he know what I'm struggling with? How does he know? And the answer is, I don't. The Spirit of God convicts you of sin in a special way as the Word of God is opened. Do you have a better sense of who you are before a holy God because of the preaching of the Word? Next on the list is the humbling of sinners. If you're enlightened and you're convicted of sin, humiliation. And not humiliation in a bad way, but being humbled. What the word humbled means is being brought low to the ground, where we get a sense of knowing who we really are. Where we're able to stand under the preaching of the word and say, this is who I am. I get it. I know who I am. And know that outside of Christ, there is nothing that you can bring and nothing that you can do. The word of God will humble us and bring us close to the ground. And then we are driven from ourselves. This is the first purpose of humiliation. Humiliation in a good way. is we are driven away from ourselves. So many of us, all of us, come into this world believing that we are able to provide all that we need for life and godliness and everything we need. But as the Word of God is held up as a mirror through the preaching of the Word, what we are exposed to is the fact that as we stand before a holy God, we are helpless and we need to be driven from ourselves, not to ourselves. And as we are driven from ourselves, and as the Spirit tears at our hearts and brings us low, we see there is a purpose. And that purpose isn't to just make us good navel gazers that are able to look at ourselves and say, oh, I can't do anything right. Oh, life is so hard. Oh, I'm so worthless. I'm so helpless. We are to be driven to Christ. We are to be driven to the Lord Jesus Christ and drawn to Him, as John says. And this is always the point of preaching. My preaching and faithful preaching throughout the world, the point of faithful preaching is not to make you feel bad, even though sometimes we feel bad. But the point is to show Jesus Christ and to draw you to Jesus Christ and even to woo you to Jesus Christ, to hold Him up in His beauty and His holiness and His loveliness and say that Jesus is the central reason and purpose. The minister of the gospel is always to draw sinners to Christ. Our presupposition is that all scriptures speak of Him and His work, which means that all preaching should be Christ-centered preaching. We sing the Psalms, and when we sing the Psalms, we should understand that they're about Christ. Our Psalm of the Month, this great promise to David, every person here should see Jesus. And all of preaching, when we preach through Ecclesiastes a couple of summers ago, it was about Christ. While we're preaching through Leviticus, it's about Christ. We preach through John and Romans too, but those are a little more obvious. But they're about Christ. All preaching is to be Christ-centered preaching. We hear so much safe, moral, and therapeutic preaching today. But that's not preaching. Preaching lifts up Christ, proclaiming the one of whom all the scriptures speak. And then what does Jesus do when He draws a sinner to Himself? He conforms them to His image. That work of recreation begins. God has chosen the foolish things of this world to recreate humanity. If you were to come up with a plan to redeem all of mankind and to recreate them in the beauty of holiness, what would you come up with? Maybe a war? Go out and destroy a bunch of people. What plan can you come up with? Well, God chose something that is absolutely foolish to the world. A man stands in a box and talks at you for 45 minutes. The world thinks that's quite ridiculous. The world looks at what I do for a living as a big drain on your finances as families. He works one day a week. He doesn't even mow his own yard. But this is what God has chosen to recreate humanity. He's chosen the foolish things of this world, the preaching of the gospel, to convert sinners and to conform them into the image of Jesus Christ. And then he subdues them to his will. When one is converted under the preaching of the word, the will changes, doesn't it? Desires change. Things you want change. And you begin to say, the things that God requires in the scriptures, I want to do that. I want to do those things. And we begin what we have often called the life of gratitude as we walk in obedience. Of course, that takes work. And the Spirit continues to do this work. And our catechism says we're strengthened against temptations and corruptions. And what this means is that as you sit under the preaching of the word, that you're not made perfectly renewed right away, but you still struggle with who you are, and you struggle with your sins, and you just struggle against your own will, and the Spirit of God continues to use the preaching of the word week by week to subdue your passion and subdue your will and subdue your desires and to build up God's will and to build up God's desires within you, and preaching stands central even in that. Our sins are still before us. We still struggle. We still fail. We still fall down. We still disobey. If you don't believe me, ask my children, and I'll ask your children. We grow. Often when the young Christian experiences that first season of stumbling, you know, someone becomes a new Christian and all of a sudden they're just the perfect Christian in the world and everything is so rosy and they just want to walk a certain way. And then life happens. They begin to struggle and stumble. And their first reaction is, Pastor, I can't come to church because I keep struggling and I can't be there because I'm struggling. But what they need is to be under the preaching of the word. Under the hearing of the word. To be discipled by the word of God. Because it's God's ordinary means to convert and to sanctify. And then our catechism says that we are built up in grace and our hearts are established in holiness. Friends, discipleship is not easy. But we have Christ who works through his Spirit to cause us to grow as we hear his word read corporately and publicly, and as we hear that word preached, proclaimed, heralded. The word for preach in the New Testament is the same word as herald. One who went out ahead of a king to proclaim victory, to proclaim the message of the king. And God says, that's what preachers are. They're ones that go out to proclaim officially as ambassadors on behalf of God that Jesus has won and Jesus will do what he has said he will do. And we need to sit under that proclamation, all of us, me too, as we hear that good news of the King who conquered. And as we walk in obedience to Him, established more and more, as we sit under God's appointed means of grace, which is the public reading of the Word and the proclamation of the Gospel as that Word of God is preached. Congregation, I would challenge you to consider your own view of both the reading and the preaching of the Word and how God has used it in your life. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we are thankful that we have the Word of God written, translated into our language, that we may understand it. And we are thankful that we can read it at home, and we can sit under it officially as it's read corporately. Lord, we pray that our view of the reading and preaching of the Word would be conformed to the Scriptures, that we would have the same view that the Word of God has, and that we would see how God uses such foolish means by the world standards to build a kingdom. Amen.